I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hands touching hands, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Man City host the PFI posse this weekend. It's Friday 18th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
PIF.
What did I say?
PFI.
Oh, silly.
Which stands
me.
For pretty fucking embarrassing if you're a bit sloppy with the details.
Well played. Very well played.
Evidently, your husband is.
Very well played, sir. Okay, yeah, that was worth the mistake, Andy. Hands touching hands, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Manchester City host the PFI posse this weekend.
Oh, you've done it again.
Piff posse. Calling them Piff posse.
Fucking Piff.
Did you say Piff?
Piff's better. Piff's better.
Fucking Piff.
Let's call them Piff. Let's call them Piff from now
even
on.
Even ruining our intros.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Here we are now. Get it right. Hands touching hands, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Manchester City host the Piff Pot.
Oh, the Piff Posse. This might derail them. This might be the only thing that stops them. Call them, ridicule them to such an extent they can never deal with it ever again.
Oh, come on, I've got to get this right. Time's ticking on. Right, come on!
Take five.
Here we go. Hands touching hands, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Manchester City host the Piff Posse this weekend. It's Friday 18th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Welcome, one and all. We've made it to Friday once again. And what a Friday it is. This is a very special Friday because this weekend we'll see the Lionesses in the World Cup final. Andy Brassel!
Big, so big. I can't wait to tune in for my easy on Monday.
Oh, great.
What a great. I tell you what, confident that is.
And I don't think Marcus understands the power he's got because they probably quite literally can't play until those keys come out the pocket.
That's right.
Because the weekend won't have officially started.
Indeed, yeah.
And started I know in Australia.
Well, exactly. They are ahead, but I
don't acknowledge it. Don't observe it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think Sam Kerr has a set of keys.
I delegate that to my Aussie guy.
I'd love to see you try and wrestle Sam Kerr over a set of keys. You'd get battered.
Well, would I?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Depends. She might... I'm trying to get a pun in about a deflection, but there we are. Yeah. Anyway.
That'll do.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll come back to that one later. By the end of the show, we'll come up with one.
Well, that's what all the best comics do. What I'm going to try and do there.
Like a good Australian, if it ended in a draw against an English person, yeah, she'd treat it as a win.
She would.
There we go.
She would.
That's why they celebrate that equaliser so much, Jim. They thought it was enough.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't.
Genuinely, it is nice to be able to be involved in a bit of sporting rivalry with Australia, with someone who doesn't really like cricket or any sports in which we play. We enjoyed it, especially because we won.
That's the only reason you did enjoy it.
It was fantastic. What a performance.
Yeah.
What a win for the Lions. Of course, they're playing Spain in the final. Apparently, the Aussies were unhappy with England's aggressive approach.
Can I
They've
just
never
say,
watched
is
any other
that
Australian
a genuine
team.
Sentence. I listed one of the things I liked about Ange Postecoglou earlier this week as being he's a genuine likable Australian.
Yeah.
Got pelters from you lot saying it was disrespectful.
Well, no,
tune into today.
I was hiding behind you.
Okay, fine. Well,
like I often
as
do.
Usual.
No, but it's good to know that the Australian press are just as pathetic and petty as us.
Yeah, of course they are. I think we always knew that.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah. But then Big Rupert's from there, isn't he? So yeah, should we be so surprised? But
they had didn't they have like a helicopter spying on training and stuff?
Yes,
apparently so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is a mass. Listen, this is a massive, massive occasion.
It is.
We'll all be watching the course. And what I like about this England team is just they're winners. They're just winners.
They've got such maturity about their performances. You think about the Nigeria.
Game management's brilliant. Yeah.
It was like, right, we've got to play for penalties here because we're on the ropes.
Yeah.
And it was magnificent. And one thing I would like to say is people talk about Chloe Kelly's winning penalty. Absolutely right. Don't forget Rachel Daly's, by the way.
Classic. Mm.
Okay. And then, you know, took their chances against Colombia, which was, you know, pounced on the mistakes. And against Australia, it was superb. And again, in that atmosphere, against a good side, blah, 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 blah.
They've lost so many important players as
well. Oh, my goodness, have they just, you know. Yeah. So, apparently, there's no plans for a bank holiday if England win.
Which is a disgrace.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should have a bank holiday whether they win or not.
Well, we'll be in.
Yeah, of course we will.
You know.
We don't observe bank holidays here.
No, exactly, yeah. We just take them when we want, Andy.
Football never stops.
Never stops. I do kind of, I like the idea that there are now... the chats that Wiegmann might take over from Southgate when he steps down. And I thought, can you imagine? Statues everywhere. Yeah. She wins all the trophies. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to have to sort this out as well.
The interesting
You'd knock down that Bobby Moore one, Andy, for her, wouldn't you?
Well, the interesting thing about that...
I've seen Andy urinate on that already. Because he loves European football so much.
That is outrageous.
The way I said that about Andy then, Marcus looked at me as in like, you can't say that.
We swore we'd never tell.
Andy, have you or have you not, listen to the question, urinated on the statue of Bobby Moore outside Wembley Stadium? Sir Bobby Moore.
I haven't, but I would do it for the Patreons.
Go on, Andy, you were about to say something.
I think the interesting thing about the chat around Wiegmann succeeding Southgate this week, and you should never measure anything by... Twitter dickheads, of course.
Mm. Ex-dickheads.
But I think, ex-dickheads.
Thank you.
But the fact is, the balance has really shifted.
Mm.
Lots of people are like, that's a great idea. Actually, if you think about it, there's something very comparable about Wiegmann's England and what Southgate's England could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because the squad that the England women's team have got...
Mm.
They've got a team that is not indisputably the best in world football, but should be able to compete for anything.
Yes.
And that's very much where England are in the men's game. So in a way, it's a very, very comparable situation. And she's got an incredible win in history going back to the Netherlands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, Sunday morning is massive. Mm. It's massive. And I can't wait. I'm on the show on Monday, so I can't wait for easy.
I got an email from church about an hour after the game going, not having a church service, we're all watching the game.
So in a way, we've already won.
Yeah.
You've out-prioritised God.
Well, God will be there.
He will be. He's everywhere.
Always is. Yeah, indeed. Well, for more insight into England's World Cup
insight.
For
actual insight.
into England's World Cup final, make sure you check out Up Front, the definitive women's football podcast from us here at the Football Realm. Well, Chloe and Rachel have been doing fine work throughout the tournament, and they will be releasing brand new podcasts on both Saturday and Sunday this weekend to ensure you've got all the analysis and reaction you need for the big one. So make sure you go and subscribe now by clicking the link in the description. Come on, England. Right, gentlemen, back to the Premier League, if we must. There's a big one on Saturday evening. It's those Manchester City guys versus the Newcastle United guys, or the Piff Posse.
The Piff Posse.
Because it's nothing to do with Saudi Arabia, it's the PIF.
Yes, exactly.
I think a lot of people don't know what the PIF actually is.
Well, it's nothing to do with Saudi
Arabia. Well, yeah, I don't know why.
It's actually pronounced PIF.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Not PIF.
Because when you say PIF, it makes it sound like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones might be involved. Yeah, they're definitely not
or
involved.
It's a place where you buy furniture.
I think Saudi
always has a sailor.
I think Saudi Arabia. Yeah, right. I think Saudi Arabia definitely see themselves as Galaxy Defenders, mate, for sure. Even though they're nothing to do with
this. Nothing to do with indeed. Yeah. Well, Manchester City, of course, have just won the UEFA Super Cup, beating Sevilla on penalties. How about that? Decent win for Manchester City. Mm. Jim, it's the one they wanted.
It is the one they wanted, I suppose, isn't it? Because they've never been eligible for. But they looked a little bit vulnerable on the counter, didn't they? Sevilla had a little bit of joy.
Mm. Decent finishing in Sevilla win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What a header for the Sevilla open goal.
He's lovely.
And Naziri is maybe the best attacking header of the ball in the world. He's close.
It was like proper 1960s stuff.
Of him against Portugal in the World Cup.
Yeah.
If Mitrovic does go, come on.
Get him in there.
Absolutely.
Use the Premier League buying power to get him in, because that was a, I don't care if you're going to double mark me.
No.
I'm going to jump higher. Yes. I'm going to use more and better neck muscles.
Yes.
And I'm going to score.
More? Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's got more neck muscles.
Could have. Could explain a lot. Could explain an awful lot, like a giraffe.
Careful. You just...
Sorry.
Edging towards David Icke there.
Never go full Icke.
No.
Go a little bit Icke.
No.
Why not?
None of
Have you
Icke.
Seen the internet these days?
Yeah, true.
He's basically mainstream now. He's one of the least eccentric people.
Yeah, there's a lot of ex-pros going at least a bit Icke.
Yeah, it's like some people said, I saw someone on Twitter say, these days Batman would be considered the least eccentric billionaire.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah. Well, Manchester City, they brought home the trophy. Pep had some kind words to say to the Premier League after the game. He said, thank you so much to the Premier League for letting us play on Saturday, not Sunday or Monday. Thank you so much. So he's happy.
What's basically happened is that he's obviously asked the Premier League, or they've made an appeal to the Premier League to play later in the weekend, and the Premier League have said, you can have five hours.
This is like
make the most of them.
This is the first opportunity they've had to make a sensible decision about the overload of games, and they've just gone,
you wanted to win the Champions League.
For most teams, this is one game in, and they've already done this.
It's superb, isn't it?
No, it's awful.
But to Manchester City, Jim, you've got to find a bit of a lull.
Well,
Jim,
you need the advantage. Level playing field, isn't it?
You need the advantage.
Well, yeah, indeed.
I was going to say, you of all people should want this. Don't want to repeat
it's the Arsenal
season.
Arrogance. Oh, we're going to win the Premier League anyway. Doesn't matter.
True enough. Yeah. Anyway,
you can finally see that.
Yeah. Well, maybe they will be extremely tired, and it will play into Newcastle United's advantage. But this is an interesting fixture, Andy Brassel. If you remember the game at the Etihad last year, where Manchester City won 2-0, Newcastle gave a very good account of themselves, and by going on the first game of the season, they've got their tails up. And Manchester City have got tired tails.
Yeah, they weren't in as good fettle when they last played at the Etihad as they are now in Newcastle. I think that's pretty clear.
Just for the record, I don't think Man City will be tired two games into the Premier League season, by the way.
I have to say, I don't know about that, because that was an exhausting effort.
Hot day,
it was
hot night.
So
travel.
Hot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there, whereas Newcastle have actually had some time to train and repose during the week. Having said that, I don't think I actually think Villa will go on to do okay this season.
I do as well.
Not top four okay, as some have suggested on Twitter. Yeah.
That was also me.
But I think playing Villa last weekend is in that state is no preparation for playing Manchester City. No. Because honestly, Newcastle could have scored 10 in that. They were excellent, but I think you have to balance it out with the fact that Villa were absolutely atrocious in every way, shape and form, and that they defended appallingly.
Impressed Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, he did.
Well, Villa's defending.
He said that they were the team that impressed him a lot on the opening weekend of the Premier League, and I'm just loving this odd mind game. And yeah. I'm like, who's in the
in about 3 months' time? Exactly. It's a much different assignment. As I think is what Andy's saying. You know, going to Manchester City at this stage of the season, fine. It's probably the time you'd want to play them.
Yeah.
But
yes,
at the same
definitely.
Time, it's different to playing Aston Villa at home on the opening day with a pumping crowd behind you.
Do you think he's trying to, like, as you say, in 3 months' time, Pep Guardiola will mention it and go, Well, I mean, I don't know why Sir Alex Ferguson thought Aston Villa. As he looked at the fixtures in 3 months' time, they've got Villa. Yeah.
I think he'll make a mad decision.
We're going to see Julia Roberts pop up at Aston Villa and then perhaps going to just lose his mind and they don't even
Guardiola will basically ruminate on that point from Alex Ferguson until just about towards the end of the transfer window.
Yep.
Then he'll sign 14 fullbacks and try and play all of them against Villa. And they'll lose. I don't know when they're playing them. We haven't really, but it's just not really a point I've thought about.
No.
And then they'll lose to Villa and then they'll lose the title.
Yeah. Well, Man City are reportedly trying to hijack Brighton's move for 19-year-old Boca Juniors left back, Valentin Barco. So there you go. There's one.
Well, what basically they're doing is saying, who's the team in the Premier League that always signs players that no one's ever heard of and turn out to be really good? It's Brighton. Do whatever they do, they just offer more money.
They've got a scout marking Brighton scout.
Yeah, I reckon they have.
Following them
But Brighton
everywhere.
Can really, I mean, it's a dangerous game to play, of course, but Brighton can really start to mug off other teams.
Yeah,
you know? We like him. Oh, no, you got him, unlucky. He signed it.
Wait, where are you going? What game are you going to the weekend? None of your business. Leave me alone. That's what's going on and over again.
But your point, Luke, about playing City now as opposed to playing them in 2 months. Honestly, I think City in 2 months are going to be a really tough nut to crack. Bearing that in mind at that point, they'll probably have Lucas Paquetá. Jeremy Doku looks like he's on the way from Rennes as well. They're going to have so many options. They're going to be a bit settled down. I think it'd be really tough. Whereas if Newcastle are going to have a pop at them, it's got to be now.
It's got to be next.
They're obviously feeling very good about themselves, as they should do.
Mm.
You've also got to take into account one thing we haven't mentioned here, though.
Is the ownership of both teams?
No, there's no point doing that.
Yeah.
There'd be monsters. Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes.
Talk about him.
Yeah.
Talk about Kevin De Bruyne being out again. He's obviously not going to be eligible for selection in this game. Is that going to be a factor chiefly because Newcastle have looked really strong in midfield? They've looked really strong.
Are we going to see Phil Foden maybe pop into the more central midfield position?
He was great in that spot in the Champions League.
Yeah, he fancies that, really, doesn't he? And then maybe De Bruyne going. I mean, the things with Foden, he's one of those players where you think he would be the best. I think you made the point, Luke, that he would be the best player in pretty much every other Premier League team. And at Man City, he's not always a guaranteed starter.
I think you can also make a similar argument about Bernardo Silva, who might even play through in the middle because he's got that sort of creativity that's comparable to De Bruyne in a little way. And Guardiola doesn't mind doing this, does he? He's happy to find internal solutions and just make them work very smoothly as if it's simple when it's really, really not.
He'd probably put Aymeric Laporte there. Who everyone thinks is going to go, and then suddenly he pops up as like a number eight, brilliant, and wins the player of the season. How does he manage that?
On this, I'm surprised that there's so much uncertainty around Cole Palmer's future.
Right.
I thought Guardiola's comments were really odd.
Same, because it seems to suggest that he might stay or he might go, and it's like not really that big a deal. And Palmer himself has been talking about the uncertainty, and he looks an absolute gem.
Do you think he's downplaying the pressure?
Maybe.
Because we know, again, with the aforementioned Phil Foden, people will think, hang on a minute, you've got this gem here. Look at what Foden's gone on to do and will go on to do. Oh, Palmer's the same. You know, should he be playing for his country? So blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. He's Guardiola going, well, maybe not. And he's just trying to...
But he's never said what he said about Palmer about Phil Foden.
That is true, but maybe he's changing tact. I don't know.
What it also could be, we're seeing this happen a lot at Chelsea as well, is that obviously players from academies count as pure profit and when it comes to FFP. So maybe they are thinking, we might have to let him go if we can get good money.
Quite
and creating
possibly.
That uncertainty will make any sort of club making an approach feel like they're getting a bit of a steal.
Take a buyback.
Andy, what's the mood like in Newcastle at the moment? Because that opening win we talked about was big, of course, and they've got their new documentary out, which is terribly insightful. The place must be bouncing.
They're in a good place. There's no doubt about that. And it's funny because at the start of the season, maybe it'll be different once the Champions League campaign kicks in and the reality of playing very high level football twice a week comes in. But at the moment, I mean, I would have said at the start of the season, with all that in mind, I think they'll struggle to make the top four again. But no one agrees with me at the moment.
Really?
You know, that they feel really, really confident and they've improved the squad beyond what I think they thought was possible or what a lot of fans thought was possible so far. So they've got great options.
Yeah. What do you think of the news? You talk about the top level football being played there, Champions League and Premier League. Well, they will also be hosting international football as well. Mm. Not England, though. They're going to host two Saudi Arabia international
friendlies. That's a mad coincidence, that.
Yeah. So
the coincidences just keep rolling
in,
don't they?
But the PIF have got nothing to do with Saudi Arabia.
No, 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 no.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How sure?
What are you talking about?
Well, anyway, they're going to play. I mean, look, Craven Cottage has hosted many international
games. They want
games
to experience
the...
September in the northeast of England. It's a beautiful time. The seasons are changing. The true. Leaves are turning a different colour.
All right.
It's a wonderful, picturesque way to go.
There are a series of city centre Gregs.
That's true.
Yep.
And there's no other reason than that.
Right. Okay.
Autumnal weather training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a good night out in Newcastle as well.
I would say, if you are going to investigate this further,
right.
Tread lightly.
Very lightly.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Keep yeah. a sober mind.
What not to do.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
the only thing that could have made that Newcastle documentary better is the appearance of George Mendes. Yeah. Just him involved.
He's probably
he'll be
exec
along.
Producer.
Yeah.
When he's done with PSG, he'll yeah. be along.
I think I like George Mendes. I like the idea of George Mendes appearing in the as the cliffhanger for the end of season one. they just show him getting off a private jet with his sunglasses on.
The thing that always struck me about George Mendes in filmed context, which we don't really see that much of, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldo biopic, which a lot of people have watched, a lot of people have absolutely refused to watch.
Yeah. Is it a biopic or is it a documentary?
There's this bit...
Documentary, right? Documentary. Yeah, it's not just a biopic.
It's when Springfield hosts a film festival and Mr. Burns makes a movie about himself.
Exactly like that.
Well, there's this bit where they're all having dinner. It's like the close Ronaldo clan. And Mensch like picks up his glass and makes a toast and he goes, "We are the best people in all of the world. Ha 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 ha." And even Ronaldo looks across and goes, "This is a bit fucking mad, isn't it?" And it's at that point where you're thinking, whoa.
It's like when Ricky Lambert went full on and Matt Letizia had to rein him in on that online chat.
Well, even I'm not going that far.
Well, yeah, hang on a minute. Yeah, what's happening here?
If you've got Narcissus away from his reflection, you have done something pretty extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
We are the best people in the entire world.
Sounds like a Ramble production meeting.
It does a little bit.
Yeah.
It does a little bit.
Less money.
Yeah. But more banter.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Former Newcastle United goalkeeper Tim Krul is back in the top league, isn't he, Andy? Back in business.
Delightful.
Signed for Luton Town. He's left the David Wagner group. And he's gone to play for Luton Town. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Bring him on for penalties.
Is that the only thing he's known for now?
Well, that was certainly a big thing he was known for because he did that on the global stage, of course.
Of course he did. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they also signed Thomas Kaminski from Blackburn, who I think is a fucking excellent goalkeeper, and who's got an amazing track record at Blackburn. I think he's voted player of the season twice, maybe in a row. I just think he's genuinely a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And I suppose he's younger than Krul and Krul's experience, and maybe they just want someone in there for experience of a top flight campaign. Because as we mentioned last week, they don't really have that many players who've had any experience at all of playing in the Premier League. So maybe he's a signing for that reason. Because Tim Krul's won the championship twice with Norwich. So I think it's an interesting signing. I don't think it'll gather the same amount of headlines as Arsenal have done, just because they've signed a second goalkeeper. Like the whole of fucking football media went into meltdown because Arsenal signed another goalkeeper.
Yeah, disgraceful.
It was like the coverage of that was like they just suggested that we change the rules of the game or something. They've already got a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
They can.
It's like they got a new manager in whilst keeping Arteta.
Yeah.
Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Speaking of managers, though, Andy, what about Troy Deeney? This is lovely. He's signed for Forest Green Rovers as player coach.
It's a poison chalice. It's very much got a vegan chalice, but it's a poison one nonetheless, right?
You say that. I mean, he's already in doing the photos with the training top advertising oat milk. He's already appeared to embrace that side of it more than Duncan Ferguson did.
Because
Ferguson was just confused.
Yeah, the only thing that people will ever remember about Ferguson at Forest Green is Dale Vince handing him a veggie burger and him looking at it like it was a space alien.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
I tell you what, though, it's not too dissimilar. I mean, you think of Duncan Ferguson, a big, hard centre forward. Troy Deeney.
Player coach, though, and that is enjoyable.
You don't see that enough anymore.
That's true. That's very, very true. Well, we hope it works out very well. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
London is blue, and when the third goal went in, I was simply purring.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Emma Hayes there.
She's such good value.
Purring away. Now, before that big one in Manchester on Saturday evening, we've got a big one in North London. Tottenham Hotspur host Manchester United at 5:30. Ange Postecoglou was asked this week if he had a message for the Spurs fans. He said, "Buckle up. It's not going to be smooth. It never is in my first years." I like that. When he said, "buckle up," I thought, what's he going to say? And then he kind of went, "buckle up. It might be a bit crap."
Yeah.
I was like, come on, Ange, that's not like you.
At least that's the way to sell it, isn't it? No. At least it's a metaphor that actually works.
Yeah, true.
Buckle up because there might be a bumpy ride. Yeah. That makes sense. Most football managers talk in mad mixed metaphors.
That's very true.
So at least we can rely upon that. I think I'll be at the game on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, look out for Luke if you're there. Give him a high five.
Don't do that.
Why not?
Well, I mean, why do people want to do that?
Top Gun's your favourite film, and there's a famous high five in that, and you love doing that.
Jim,
yeah,
he's doing it again.
How would you feel if like strangers kept trying to high five you in public?
Excellent.
Yeah, I forget what you're like.
Yeah. You're talking to a man who high fives strangers actively himself anyway.
I don't. Well, now I've moved on to Big Tens.
Is that right?
With strangers?
With anybody, Jim.
Yeah, anyone who wants it.
Anyone who
could
wants
be a patron
it.
Benefit.
All right,
it?
Fine. If you see Luke, stay away, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, leave him be.
Thank you very much.
Probably for the best, anyway.
Yeah. No one's going to see me anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be at the game.
Yes.
I wasn't mentioning that so that people would high-five me.
Okay.
I was just saying that I'm looking forward to watching it because it looks to me that this Spurs team, particularly in the first instance, are going to be a team that is... sees goals follow them. Goals going to find them wherever they go.
Okay.
Both for and against, it seems like, because the way they like to play under Ange so far. A bit of Ange ball.
Mm.
And if you look at how soft-centred Manchester United were against Wolves, we talked about it on Tuesday, Marcus.
They were dreadful.
Exactly. There could be a lot of joy for both teams here because obviously whatever shortcomings Man United have, they've obviously got very good attacking players. So it's going to be a game. For me, it's the game of the weekend.
Really?
I'm excited for it.
More so than Man City versus the Piff Pots.
This one's just got more potential for drama, this one, isn't it?
Definitely.
For the reasons that you put forward.
Interesting.
I think the middle of the park has got loads going on.
Is part of it. Andy. And on the back of that, here's another dimension to it that I was just going to finish off by saying. This is the first home game since Harry Kane's left the club.
Yes.
We'll learn a lot about how the fans feel. Famously, very vocal fans there. Daniel Levy, not very popular, of course. It'll be really interesting to see how Spurs fans react to
the club's decision to allow Kane to leave. And I think a lot of it will be informed by how well Spurs play, say, in the first half in this game. It could be a proper psychodrama there if they find themselves 2-0 down at home, because that it'll be seen as a lightning rod for yet more stick for Levy. Mm-hmm. I thought after the Parma-Zampoulis didn't work out, you know, the al dente Allardyce didn't work out, I thought it's very hard to see where Levy goes now. I think the job that Ange Postecoglou has done in the way he's communicated with Spurs fans since he's taken that job has been absolutely exceptional, and not enough's been made of it.
Yeah, but I think for that reason,
it will only ever be underpinned by how well they do on the pitch.
Yeah, for that reason, I think you have to separate team and club to a certain extent. I think they'll continue to be goodwill for the team because Postecoglou's immensely likeable, immensely competent, really invested in it, and wants to play attacking football. And all of those things people will really believe in. At the same time, I think those fans, who, by the way, are paying an absolute fortune to get in, especially for this game, but over the season.
At least they can get in. Arsenal, they couldn't even get in.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think you look at that and you think, well, they've every right to be pissed off that the club's sold Harry Kane, because it's basically saying, this is a rebuild. We're not going to make the Champions League this season, but you're paying Champions League and beyond prices because look at the stadium, which I think is very, very hard to swallow.
It's a nice stadium, to be fair. A really nice stadium, isn't it?
They are, isn't it? Do you think if Levy comes out in a gold suit and diamond sunglasses, that will help?
Yeah, I think that would really help. I think he should
look
start.
How rich we are.
He should start coming in to the director's box like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Parrot on the shoulder, big loads of music being played beforehand.
Yeah. Some sort of cane he can also use as a weapon.
A cane.
Cane with a K, obviously.
Which is called Harry.
And a big Vince McMahon strut.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that because he's so tiny as well. It'd look amazing. Yeah.
We'd all be into that. I think the midfield battle is intriguing here because Man U was so piss poor against Wolves. And if I was James Maddison, I'd be thinking,
there's joy.
Yeah, I mean, Maddison and Bissouma are very, very strong runners in that position. So, that'd be... It's going to be fun. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a barn burner. Maybe the first barn burner of the season. Yeah. Although I suppose Newcastle set light to Villa's barn quite effectively.
Yeah, that's not a barn burner. No, it was a barn burner. There needs to be fire from both sides.
The first half of Brentford Spurs was a bit.
It was,
but then the burning got put out in the second half, so it wasn't a full barn burner.
So on Monday,
but Villa set fire to their own end of the barn as well.
Exactly. Yeah, so, on Monday, we should talk about. If we need to, we should officially declare a barn burner if there is one.
I think we should.
Yeah. It could be this, but you never. Sometimes barn burners pop up in unexpected places.
Very unexpected places, yeah. But we wish Spurs well, don't we, Jim?
We do.
Dwight York has said Erik ten Hag should re-sign Romelu Lukaku. I wonder what Dwight York was doing.
I just say, I know we all want to kind of tee off on Dwight here, but I don't think that's the worst shout in the world.
Yeah.
There's probably
second
reason.
Worst?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is then?
Well, this reason... What I'm saying is,
right.
From the point of view...
He knows the club.
No, I'm just saying, I know they've signed Højlund, but we don't know what state he's going to be in yet, whether he's quite ready yet. They do need a player of that profile in that position, is all I'm saying. And Andy,
they don't. They don't need...
they don't, Luke.
They don't need a player of that recent attitude, behaviour... Form. Remember, he didn't score a Serie A goal that wasn't from the penalty spot for 7 months last season, and then had the nerve to turn around and go, actually, I'm not going to sign for this club permanently because you didn't pick me for the Champions League final in the starting lineup, which I came on and made sure we didn't win, by the way.
Yes.
We're talking about current Lukaku. We're not talking about Lukaku 3 years ago. Lukaku, in the season where Inter win the title under Conte, is undeniable. He's one of the best strikers in the world and didn't get the credit for it. The way he has played and behaved in the last two seasons, it's a leap of faith to take him. And that's not unfair.
Also, surely it stands in the way of Højlund as well. I know that Højlund's
it probably will. Yeah.
Exactly. You don't want him hanging around once Højlund's fit and ready, do you?
I've learnt my lesson.
Yeah.
Never align yourself with Dwight York.
Right.
I get it. Yeah. That's fine.
This was just a quick mention. That's quite funny, isn't it? And you went a deep dive on this.
I can only apologise.
Right, again.
Can we clip that?
Yeah, can I clip it so I can just press a button on it?
I think we should all have it. So we move on.
Manchester United could miss out on the signing of Benjamin Pavard, though, because Harry Maguire's reluctance to leave the club is going to get in the way.
What a depressing sentence.
That is really something.
Let's take a moment to think of a more depressing sentence than that.
Oh, dear. They don't need him because they've got Hazard Maguire.
Is Pavard what they need, Andy, as well?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he'd be an improvement to a lot of Premier League teams. I mean, the fact that his preferred position is centre-back, he's great at right-back,
technically very good, good defender, good athlete. Although he did play in the Super Cup last week in a way that, if you don't sell me, I'm going to continue to play this badly throughout the season. He was awful and took him off at half-time. He's out on Bayern, definitely.
A lot of people would think of him as a predominantly a right-back, though, right? But so he's been converted to a full-time centre-back now.
No, he was a centre-back. He always was a centre-back, and he's been used at right-back a lot. But that's part of the source of his wanting to leave, really.
Right, okay.
I would imagine playing centrally.
He would prefer to play at centre-back. Okay. He's very good mates with Raphael Varane as well, so Varane's obviously been talking the club up to him. But it looks like Inter are going to take advantage of the fact that
Harry Maguire won't leave.
Yeah. It's mad. Even you must think that's mad.
I think it's fair. I think he wants to stay and fight for his place.
Yeah.
And,
is that the right?
I don't think Pavard was in the Euro 2020 team of the tournament, was he?
It's an abysmal point.
I think he was.
It's an abysmal point.
I think he was. Well, I'm just saying.
The thing is, I say something that's a little bit controversial and I get hammered for it. I have to apologise.
Yes.
You say stuff like that and everyone thinks it's great.
No, I just stated a fact.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's move on, shall we? Something that Jim will be pleased about. Santi Cazorla has returned to his boyhood club. We've moved on from
the magical chipmunk.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he's gone back to Real Oviedo. And while playing for them, he will earn the Spanish second tier's minimum wage, and he's waived all image rights, apart from 10%, which will go directly to the club's academy.
What a fairy tale.
No.
It turns out, if you play in Qatar for 3 years, you could afford to do stuff like that. No one ever gives that point of view about going and playing in Qatar or Saudi Arabia, do they?
Yeah, I think
bit of balance, Marcus.
Well,
bit of balance.
It is a fairy tale, because he also played Gandalf in the transfer announcement video.
Yeah, I mean, could I just say, I watched that, and I'm a fan of Lord of the Rings, and I recognise the scene well. I think, out of context, essentially, he's just kidnapped a child.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. And also, he's very clearly at no point anywhere near a horse, let alone riding one.
Gandalf, in that scene in Lord of the Rings, reignites his friendship with the hobbits,
right? Okay.
And of which, of course, you know, Frodo is one of them,
right.
And it makes sense. In this video, Santi Cazorla, it isn't made clear that he's a wizard, and it's not a hobbit, it's just a kid.
Just a kid,
And he doesn't even have a beard.
Exactly.
I think the reveal here, really, is the fact that, you remember when Santi Cazorla went to Villarreal after leaving Arsenal, a magician sort of got him out of this pod capture chamber. So the thing is, before that, I'm thinking, oh, he was part of something that was, you know, a bit left field. Now it's clear that, Jim, that he's the creative director.
Maybe. He is a magician, but I'm not sure if he is the creative director, because if you look at the solitary shot of Santi Cazorla in it, it's like he shot it on his phone in his garden. Like he's essentially like done a self-tape and then they've stitched it together
It's like he said, I'll be a part of it, but I'm really fucking busy this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So just let me know what you want me to do and I'll do it.
Have you seen horses? They're massive. I'm quite small. I'm not getting on that.
Yeah.
I've watched the first two Lord of the Rings films. I just haven't bothered with the third.
Fair enough.
You know,
thanks for the contribution.
Well, was this from a scene from the third one?
Do you feel the same way you feel about... No, it's from the very first movie.
Oh, is it? Okay.
When Gandalf turns up.
It's a lot of stuff.
A lot to remember.
I like the way you're divorcing yourself from Luke's very sad, detailed explanation.
Do you feel the same way about Lord of the Rings? Do you feel the same about Game of Thrones? A similar kind of vibe.
No, I've never watched an episode of Game of Thrones.
That's what I'm saying. You've got the same attitude towards it.
And the funny thing is, I don't dislike... What would it be? The fantasy? Yeah. I don't particularly dislike it. I'm not interested, really, on those.
They sound like very
ones.
Similar things.
Do you want to do a section of all the things you're not interested in?
Brand new?
Yeah, okay. Because Theo Walcott's just retired.
Yeah. Oh, no, you've brought me back in. 47 caps for England.
Yeah.
Who can forget that hat-trick against Croatia, Jim? Mm. Youngest man ever to score a hat-trick for England, of course.
19
years old. Theo Walcott has announced his retirement from football at the age of 34. He says he wants to experience a bit of life.
Yeah. Mm.
He said everything has been about football since about the age of 16.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
You can understand
it
that.
Absolutely.
It's a funny one with Theo Walcott, because some people will look at him and think, never reached the highs that people perhaps thought he would. I think that might be a touch unfair because of old Sven Goran Eriksson, the hype around.
Yeah, that dogged him forever, that.
2006,
yeah. 2006, yeah. He was picked for the World Cup when he'd never played for England. There was limited footage of him playing football.
He'd never played for Arsenal.
No.
He'd never made a top flight appearance and he was still picked for the national team.
Yes, exactly.
At a tournament.
And also, when he scored a couple of goals, I think, for the England under-21s, which were quite Thierry Henry-esque, I think you put that together with the selection at the World Cup 2006, And people thought, oh, well, he's obviously going to be the English Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it was never going to work out because there's only one Jim. But
human beings don't work like that, do
they? Don't. Not even twins are exactly the same. But no. with Walcott, I think it is a bit unfair because 47 England caps, won a couple of FA Cups as well.
He scored over 100 goals for Arsenal as well.
I don't think anyone would do him down if that was the case. But I don't know. What do you think of Walcott's career, just sort of briefly?
I think the middle of it, I think, is perhaps... perhaps he doesn't get the credit he deserves for some of it, because there were points where he had one particularly fantastic season for us. There was obviously more than one season, but when he was fit and when he was really, really flying, there were times where he was a brilliant player, really technically gifted. The idea of Walcott was that he'd run onto a pass and then maybe run it out of play, and occasionally he had frustrating moments about his game like that. But there were times where, I mean, if you look at his highlight reel of goals, there are some absolutely superb goals in there. Like, he was really, really tricky player, could beat his man really, really well. He just wasn't consistent enough with it for long enough, and you know, once he left Arsenal, Arsenal sold him at the right time, really, because we didn't see any of that for Everton or for Southampton.
It's the 12-13 season you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
where
he was brilliant.
They got fourth and they had a really amazing, strong end to the second half of the season, and Walcott was pretty decent then. His retirement announcement translated is basically just, I don't really want to play in the Championship. So that's enough of that for me, thanks.
I'd rather not play at all.
Yeah, which is kind of fair enough given his age and how much. I mean, the other thing you have about him is, I don't know if you feel this way, Marcus, but he always had an idea about his career that it was just almost a failure to launch. At some point, he's going to become a world beater because he was so quick and because he was so exciting to watch. And that never quite happened. And then what's happened in the aftermath when we look back on it is, oh, wow, actually, he's played almost 600 games. Yeah. He's played 500 odd top flight games.
Had some great moments.
And had some amazing moments that Arsenal fans and Everton fans maybe and
England fans, surely, England that hat-trick.
England fans will remember. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, is a classic example of an expectation versus reality problem.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas if he had come up in a slightly different way, people would be saying, wow, what a solid operator at Premier League level and for England. Mm-hmm. He didn't disgrace himself for England at all at any point. And so I think we should probably look at his career now he's retired through those glasses rather than the kind of, oh, it's his own fault that he wasn't a wonder kid when he had none of that was his fault anyway.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. There's also a disappointment in the idea that he starts out at Southampton, is where people start to talk about how exciting he is as a player, gets a big move to Arsenal, wants to go back to Southampton to kind of end his career, and that ends in relegation. That's obviously quite a sad way of ending. But
Do you agree with that?
What?
Tonally, generally, that's quite a sad thing to happen to Southampton.
No. I'd like to see them get relegated every year until I die.
Really?
Yeah.
What, so like, you could play against them in, like, what would it be until you die? Like, so when you're like old and playing walking football,
yeah,
the Southampton first team turn up and you
can... And no one can understand it. Yeah. It's like, what's happened? Like, it's impossible to conceive of how bad they've become.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They'd probably win with a James Ward-Prowse free kick, wouldn't they?
They probably would.
I think so, yeah.
And Walcott, James Ward-Prowse would come in late on me and end my life.
Yeah. And somehow,
and everyone will go, and I'll have to, my last dying thought will be, I can't really complain about this.
It's been coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. 40 years into the future.
Yeah.
And Theo Walcott's still only 47.
Yeah.
So there we are. On Sunday afternoon, everybody, it's West Ham versus Chelsea. The tasty derby, we could say, Jim. The big news, of course, regarding Chelsea is that they're not going to sign Michael Olise.
Well, they're not signing anyone. It's a massive
big
news.
Yeah. Well, Jurgen Klopp said the other week, didn't he, that whatever a Chelsea manager wants, he usually gets. Well, usually being the operative word, because they didn't.
Until he gets sacked.
They didn't get Olise. He has instead signed a new contract at Palace. After Chelsea reportedly activated his £35 million release clause. And Steve Parrish looked like the cat that had gotten all the cream in that photo, didn't he?
Can I just say that? And that sentiment has filtered all the way down to Crystal Palace's social media team, because when they announced Elise's new contract on Instagram, they showed a video of all his highlights, and the music behind it was Chelsea Dagger.
No way.
It was.
Love that.
It was.
That's very good.
It was.
Very well played.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do Elvis Costello, I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea, but maybe that's a bit arch for their fan base.
Indeed.
Maybe that's a bit old for them. But Chelsea Dagger, terrible song, but lovely sentiment.
Yeah. Midnight in Chelsea by John Bon Jovi. Jovi on his solo album wouldn't have worked, but it would have been nice to hear it. I think you can agree.
I definitely agree. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Oh, you hear that?
When you saw Bon Jovi live twice. Did John come out and do any kind of solo stuff?
Sadly not. No. I'm waiting for the solo tour.
Yeah, of course. Well, you all are.
Bit more stripped down. Yeah.
And if you do see me there, there'll be plenty of high fives. Don't worry about that.
There'll be a lot of big tens.
We're going to raise our hands as Bon Jovi once sung.
Listen, I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Do you want to come? I'll get your ticket.
No, thank you.
Okay.
If you do happen upon Marcus at a Bon Jovi gig, there's a few songs that you want to wait for before you approach him for the big ten. Wanted Dead or Alive.
Big time.
Blaze of Glory.
That's solo.
Oh, true. Yeah. Okay. So Wanted Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
Bad Medicine.
Bad Medicine. Yeah. I wouldn't be one of. Yeah.
And I think the ultimate one, the number one would be at the moment they start Lay Your Hands on Me. Big tens to Marcus.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a lovely time.
Intro on that is outrageous, Jim. It goes on for about 2.5 glorious minutes.
Get the Fantas in.
Just like Ella Toone.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you,
Ella Toone and John Bon Jovi.
Now you're talking.
What holy trinity.
Flipping heck.
I don't know if John Bon Jovi does drink Fanta. I'm quite hard to believe.
He probably does nowadays.
Fantasy. Anyway, that's West Ham Chelsea preview.
Jim, you were about to say something about football?
I was, yeah. I'm wondering if actually, now that we know Roy Hodgson's really hard, that all this talk about him having like encouraging chats with Elise to get him to stay was more of a threat.
It does put it into a different light. Is he...
Want to go to Chelsea, do ya?
You mentioned Snatch the other week. Well, to bring in that other film that Guy Ritchie did, is he the Hatchet Harry of the Premier League?
It feels that way, doesn't it?
He is.
Could be.
I think he's twisted his arm, possibly literally. But I think it's very encouraging in general that Hodgson has managed to convince a player like that to stay at Palace, because Palace are in a really great situation where they are a team where really good players with big futures can develop. Mm-hmm. And that isn't the worst situation for them to find themselves in, or the worst way for them to pitch themselves to players. So
let's be honest, Jim, it's good for the Premier League.
It is.
A lot like one club or a couple of clubs hoarding all the players is not good. And from Elise's perspective, I think that there are a couple of levels to it. I think, firstly, you want to know what the Chelsea project is a bit more. I mean, to me, it seems like Pochettino and a load of players at the moment. I would want to be convinced, if I was a player, I would want to be convinced that it is more than that. You know, what is my role? What are we going to do this season? Yeah. And I want to like see how that rolls out a little bit more. Maybe Chelsea and Pochettino will be successful. Who knows? But I think immediately it's all a bit opaque. I think the second thing is, we mustn't forget, is Elise has designs at least on getting in the France squad for Euro 2024.
Well, he's got
now,
to play.
In terms of the focus, and he's not going to be fit until the end of September anyway, you want to know what situation you're going back into.
At Chelsea, he just won't play, Andy. This was my point the other day.
Well, you don't know if you'll play. Where you're playing.
Well,
I don't think you know.
Yeah, but how many
any
examples
of that?
Hodgson would have just said to him, look, okay, here's a list of players that had promised, that were really good players, and they went to Chelsea and they didn't really play, or they're bit part players and it didn't quite. Was actually
Sidwell.
And a great example, Jim, Scott Parker. But different profile of player, or different type of player, and similar to Elise. And I think that if I'd have been
Danny Drinkwater.
There was another one. If I was Hodgson in that situation, I'd have said, look, you stay here. You are going to play. You're an exciting player. People enjoy watching you. Your price tag is not going to, the interest in you is not going to wane. If Chelsea are coming in for you, then other clubs are going to be interested. They know what you're doing. Just stay here for another season or two, whatever it may be, and keep doing what you're doing. And you'll be, you know, you probably will get a move to a bigger club.
It's more than that, isn't it? He's growing into running the team. Him and Eze are growing into running the team.
Exactly.
And that is a great opportunity. It's a great platform.
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity for Crystal Palace to knock up his release clause a little bit, which they have done. They know in the background that PSG are interested.
But Andy, and also,
other
the other
Premier
thing
League clubs will be interested.
You've not factored in the idea as well that philosophically, Wilfred Zaha moving out the way is a really big
deal. Yes.
To make it their team.
A similar positioned player who's been one of, if not their best ever player, has finally moved on. And I think it gives an opportunity for an Elise, for an Eze, for some of these other players to really flourish. Mm. Elise delivered, 11 assists in the Premier League last season? Mm. Pretty underrated player. Yeah, No one really talks about him. What can he do now once he gets fit, as Andy says, where he's got a chance really to potentially be the big attacking player at the club?
Yeah.
And that's really exciting too. And I think it's the right move for him to stay for all the reasons you've said, but for that reason as well.
Chelsea also interested in signing Brennan Johnson from Forest.
Just fucking boring now, isn't it?
Just see previous chat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Press back on the podcast about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And just re-up it again.
Yeah, but just put in Brennan Johnson's name.
Just
instead
say
of Lisa.
Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope he stays at Forest, because it's just, you know, it's just much better for, well, the Premier League, but also football, I think, as well.
Agree. Also, I also don't really like Chelsea that much.
There's so that as
it
well.
It forms my opinions quite a lot.
Okay.
I know Jim feels the same, but he won't say it.
No,
I feel sad about the Reece James thing, though.
I do as well. Yeah.
He's an absolutely elite player, Reece James. That's really clear at the 100%. Weekend as well.
And it's 100%.
It is a shame. Will we see his sister in the World Cup final?
We could do.
Lauren James.
We could do. That's a big decision to make.
Off the bench scores the winner.
Love that. Proper absolutely redemption. Love that.
Yeah, that would have been great.
What an arc.
Yes. What about West Ham, Jim? You've got a very soft spot for West Ham.
I do.
It's their first match at the London Stadium since it held a Monster Jam truck show and Wing Fest, which was the world's largest chicken wings festival during the summer.
Well, I'm hoping that this match is sort of going to be like a combination of both of those things in terms of intensity.
Large chicken wings bashing into each other.
Why not?
But I don't understand about this is I get the monster truck thing. That was big in the 80s. Some of the monster trucks that I actually looked into this, some of the monster trucks from the 80s, like Gravedigger, they're still going.
Right.
So I get that. You want to go, you want to watch monster trucks, you like cars, you like that kind of destruction derby type vibe. Mm. That's fine. I do not understand how you can host a stadium-sized event based around chicken wings. And I'd love to know what that is and what that looks like.
Chicken wings are they're the craft beer of meats, aren't they? People get really, really into them and sort of make it their whole personality, and sort of it just gets a bit weird. I looked into this. There were 40 different vendors there. Mm-hmm. It's like, how much room in your stomach do you have?
There's only two wings on a chicken, isn't there?
There are.
Yeah, famously. Like,
how can you just...
Yeah,
it's not even the best part of a chicken for me.
I agree, totally.
Thighs are much better.
And I would say,
it gives you a job.
I agree as well.
Yeah, it's food with a job.
Yeah, I don't like the admin.
If you wanted to go to Wingfest on the Saturday, for example, it's a 3-day festival.
Three days.
If you wanted to go on the Saturday, you could buy a ticket which got you fast track entry, fine, a weather protected...
Sorry, fine. Fast track entry. How hungry are these people?
They put wings on you. Try you in. A weather protected VIP seating area to keep your wings dry, presumably. Uh-huh. Table service. Wings from 10 different traders. 6 drink tokens. A Wingfest signature trucker hat. A Wingfest t-shirt. And all rides, games and entertainment was included. £150. For one day.
Wow.
On the Chicken Wings Festival.
Rides, games and entertainment.
All of the rides chicken themed.
Has to be, Jim.
To paraphrase Robin Williams, spending £150 to go to a Chicken Wing Festival is God's way of telling you you've got too much money.
Yeah, I think so.
That is an absolutely ridiculous prospect. And they don't even... I thought there might be some players, some wingers.
Yeah.
Just running up and down
the wings. Argument that Chelsea are a bit of a wing fest at the moment.
Speaking
Opened
of which,
by Jared Bowen, presumably.
Yeah.
Did you see that Newcastle United, among all their nonsense at the moment, they've got a new corporate bit or something. They've called Wings.
Yes.
Presumably they've opened it because you go a lot now, Andy.
Is it not? I thought that was another branch of the famous Manchester Wings restaurant.
But it's not. That's the problem. So it looks like a...
Yet another coincidence.
Manchester United culture rip-off, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bollocks. Absolutely.
I mean, when I think of Wings, I think of Louis van Gaal.
Yeah.
The great man.
Or Sam Allardyce.
And if they've not had him opening it, then I think that's poor.
And if they're not serving pints of wine in there, then sod off, quite frankly.
I think when you walk into that stadium ahead of that game on Sunday afternoon...
Yeah. With your fast track ticket.
Yeah, you're going to get a buzz from the fact that Wingfest has been there.
I think so.
Picking the bones out of the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, wiping the grease off the seats. It's going to be great. Right, now it's time for the Football Ramble. Acca with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your football accumulators this season with their new 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on the match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time, which is such a bonus these days because there's so much added time in football, as we've seen. For every weekend in August, you can also celebrate the return of the season with a completely free Acca on the football. So do check that out. Every Friday on the previous show, we're going to each choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an Acca of 4 match odds 90 bets. Marcus, you are first up this week. I disgraced us all last week. Yeah. I am going last this time again. Mm-hmm. That's a coincidence. It's not because I'm scared. You are a brave boy, a brave little toaster.
Yeah.
You're going first. What's your selection?
I'm keeping it simple. I'm going Liverpool to beat Bournemouth at home.
Brave. I'm going to rescind my.
I earned my stripes last week.
Safe you little did. Toaster. Away win last week.
Away win at Everton, of yeah. course. So I betted against a side from Liverpool. And this week I thought I should do the City proud, and, yeah. and I'm making it up for them with a Liverpool win. Just so happens they're at home to Bournemouth.
Equal opportunities.
Yeah.
Andy.
Manchester United are going to win at Tottenham, I think. Obviously, United weren't terrific against Wolves by any stretch of the imagination. They do have that poor performance in them under Erik ten Hag every so often. Globally, they've been excellent, and we mustn't forget that. I think they're far more the finished article than Tottenham are, and they're going to win there.
I think he'll make an adjustment, and I think there'll be goals in the game, but you've gone for a Man United win. That's fair enough. Jim?
I am returning to the scene of your crime, which I think is probably...
Which one?
Fine and normal, isn't it? I'm going for the 4:30 kickoff on Sunday, which features Chelsea. They're playing West Ham, as we've just discussed. I think Chelsea are going to win. Yeah. I think they are probably just got a little bit more about them at this stage of the season.
It's an away win. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of balls. Good for you. My selection is going to be Aston Villa to beat Everton. I think I want to get back on the horse as soon as possible after last week's disappointment.
Want to get in my slipstream.
I do want to get in your slipstream. I think Everton are a poor side. I think Aston Villa will bounce back from that disappointment against Newcastle, so I've gone for an Aston Villa win. So in summary, Liverpool to beat Bournemouth, Man United to beat Spurs, Chelsea to beat West Ham, and Aston Villa to beat Everton. A £10 bet with Betfair on that return, £75.63. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. There was two of those last weekend, as you guys saw, so hopefully we can add more to that pile as well. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, do head to begambleaware.org. All right, I'm in the seat this week. It's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
But we do, Jack. We do. It means a simple game of categories. I'll give you all a category and all you have to do is give me an answer that fits into that category. If you're going too slow, you get Gary Neville's orgasm, which gives you about 7 seconds to answer. If you don't, you're out. I won last week. The powers that be, the regime don't like it, man. They've taken me out the firing line this week and made me host. So, Jim, you're going to go first.
Cool.
We're going to work around from you. And the first category is, and make sure after the vicious debacle last week, which I think was edited out a lot, listen to the fucking question.
Right.
Listen to every part of the question, okay?
Right.
Jim, right. Teams that have won the UEFA Super Cup since the year 2000 inclusive. So teams from 2000 onwards who have won the UEFA Super Cup. There are 12 in total. Jim, please start us off.
I will go for Man City.
That's correct.
Galatasaray.
Oh, also correct. Well done.
Enjoyable. Liverpool.
Very good. That's the full set, Jim. So we're back to you.
Chelsea.
Correct. That's four down.
I've put myself off by misspelling Chelsea as we've been writing these down, but nevertheless, I'm going to go for FC Bayern München.
Bayern Munich is his answer, and it's also correct. Marcus, it's on you.
Barcelona, surely.
He says Barcelona, but is it right? It is. Jim?
I'm going to go for Real Madrid. Expect so.
It's a safe bet. That's correct. This is a good opening round, guys. Well done.
Milan.
It's a standard. AC Milan, he's gone for.
Ooh.
That's correct.
Sevilla.
They've been in a lot of finals, haven't they?
They've won
certainly
at
least
one.
Been in a lot of them. You think they've won at least one?
Big time.
But have they?
Mm-hmm.
They have. So now we're down to the last three.
Oh! Oh!
Jim, this is where it gets tough, mate.
Yeah.
I found Andy's hot favourite for this, I have to say. This is right into Andy's wheelhouse, but you've got a chance here.
Wheelhoos. Okay. I am going to take a bit of a punt and go for Atletico Madrid.
Oh, nice!
Very nice.
I think he's done it. Yeah.
Correct. Two left. Andy.
Just two.
Yeah.
Two?
Two left.
Just two?
Yeah.
Come on.
So one and two. Valencia.
Ooh.
So Marcus, I mean, you've basically got one option left. It's pretty difficult.
Can I have a clue?
No, you cannot, mate, okay. I'm afraid.
That's a shame.
It's just the way it goes.
It's Torres! Internationale.
Afraid not, mate. It's incorrect, I'm afraid. It's a pretty good bet, actually. Pretty good selection, but unfortunately not correct. So, Jim, we go back to you. There's one remaining. The first of you to get it, I suppose, wins the point.
It's going to be a difficult one, this, isn't it? I see what you're umming and ahhing about.
The standard is high here.
Bellow.
I think Andy knows this.
Yeah. Okay. Dortmund.
Andy, it's on you. If you name the team, win the point.
Zenit St. Petersburg.
Oh, he's very confident. Very confident.
What do you think about that, Marcus?
I think he's right.
Is he overconfident, though?
No, I think he's right.
Jim, what do you think?
His face suggests he's right.
Yeah. It's correct. Point to Andy. Well played,
done.
Andy.
Well done, Andy.
Very
well
good standard. You can't argue with that. Every single one of them named.
Yep.
All right, Marcus, you're going to be up first this time.
Oh.
Okay. This is a really interesting one, actually. Yeah. Again, really important you listen to the question and the detail within it. Players that have scored 20 or more league goals in any of Europe's top five leagues last season. So for clarity, that's Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, Ligue 1. Players that scored 20 or more league goals in any of those leagues last season. Off you go.
Erling Haaland.
It's the safest of safest of selections, and it's correct.
I'm struggling here.
It's tough, this. It's you, Jim, sorry, yeah.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Of course. I'll tell you what, the listeners will be enjoying people just blithely reaching for the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But it's going to get a little bit more serious in a minute.
I'll join in. Kylian Mbappe.
You'd think it would be a safe bet, wouldn't you?
Yep.
For PSG?
Yep.
He has. Marcus?
Why am I struggling with this already?
To be fair, it's not as easy as it looks. It's not as easy as it looks. I mean, you should be. There's a couple more you should get.
Of course I should.
Yeah, but there we go. That's how it goes. Where's Gary? Anyone seen Gary around? There he is.
Robert Lewandowski.
Oi. I like that a lot.
Do you like that?
Yeah, because under pressure, you pulled it out of the bag.
An obvious one out of the bag.
You're back in front of the round. You're back in front of the round because you went first, right? Jim?
Victor Osimhen.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Very nice. For Napoli, of course. Well done.
Alex Lacazette.
Oh, piss off, Andy.
That's also correct. This is playing into Andy's hands, really.
It is, yeah.
But I mean, you can't blame the man for just knowing a lot about football. I've tried, but you can't.
Sort of is the job, isn't it?
Yeah, he takes it serious. Not like some
too
people.
Too seriously.
Has anyone seen Gary around?
Oh, no.
Who's that coming up the garden?
Nah, that's Fizzer. That's not my answer, by the way.
I can tell it's Fizzer because the mouse are frying themselves on the traps.
It's Torres. Mo Salah. I don't think he did.
Last season, you think Mo Salah?
No, I don't think he did. I just had to say,
Jim, what'd you rate that? What'd you rate about that?
It's on my list.
It's on Jim's list.
It might be. I might have done you a favour there,
you
Jim.
You might have done.
Yeah, 19 last season. So Marcus, that's a no. So Jim and Andy get a correct answer. Marcus is out.
See you later,
Jim.
So I am going to go for. And this is going to be tight because of cup competitions as well. Actually, no, I'm going to. Ignore me. Vinicius Jr.
Vinicius Jr., he says.
I thought about that.
Did you? How serious did you think about it?
Not as serious as perhaps I should have done because I got my answer wrong.
Yeah, so
but I want Jim to win the point.
You might have been wrong.
Didn't even come close.
Andy's got
10 league goals. Andy, you just need to name one, my friend.
Jonathan David.
Jonathan David of Lille.
Not a footballer.
Jonathan David of Lille is his answer.
Come on. Luke, just lie if you have to.
Is correct. Two zip to Andy.
Following Balogun was the one I probably should have gone for. But
that's correct.
That's annoying. Like that. I thought he might have got a few in the cups.
But because you didn't, Jim.
This has happened, yeah.
So you could have had Habib Diallo of Strasbourg, Lois Appenda of Lens, Lautaro Martinez, that's enough of that, of Inter. And I'll tell you one you all will be kicking yourselves about. He plays on these very shores, out in West London.
No way.
Ivan Toney. Oh, he could have had Ivan Toney of Brentford. Oh, congratulations to you, Andy, and more, tune in next Friday for more of that. It's cool. To be fair, those categories, which are selected at random by the production team, they did play into your hands a wee bit, I think, this week. So you've done very well there.
Well, I think Andy's not had a dominant display in this game, so I think the production staff, in their randomness, have
helped him
out.
Oh,
they've
given me a goal. They've moved me out the firing line as well. Yeah. Progress prize. I'm the form player at the moment.
Jim and I have got to lick our wounds.
Yeah, you have.
Bad start for us.
Very bad start. We are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. There we are. The keys are in the lock. The weekend is officially open.
Get them out then.
Sweet Caroline is going to be playing, hopefully all the way until Monday morning. And it's going to be a great old time. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
We'll start the week off on Monday with an easy, hopefully.
Let's hope so. Jim Campbell, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew Brassel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Andy, you're up first, okay?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It's out of order.
Because I didn't hear it.
Andy's up first. So you listen to the question really carefully, Andy. Uh-huh. This is...
Well, I don't really need to, do I?
Well, you should. We got here, names of sons.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.